Good morning, boys and girls. I'm glad to join you this morning as together we're going to read a fun book. It's called, Oh, The Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss.
There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby!
That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday edition. Clouds have moved out. Beautiful sunshine out there. We'll get more from Dr. Bill coming up at around 12:35. Forecast for the rest of the work week and the weekend ahead. Lots to do on today's show. Before I get into this, and my friend Cameron Smith is going to join me in just a second, but a note. Like, I make notes to myself when I'm not here at the studio. And maybe I just want to know, is this going on in the showers in your home? Is this going on in y'all's showers or bathtub area? Or what? Let me read a little list here. Tell me that really y'all know what any of these things are. What is tea tree? You know what tea tree is? Not just a tree. What is a tea tree? Have you ever seen sandalwood? Like, I've worked with, you know, a lot of different pines and oaks and stuff. They work with sandalwood. Macadamia. I know they're the nuts, right? If you go to Hawaii, that you get it like the right there as you leave at the gift shop. A paraben tree. I've seen eucalyptus trees before, I guess I put that. India chai. Moon rock. These are just a few of the items that are in the shampoos that are in the Sullivan household. Now, I'll have to say that the ladies of the Sullivan household have led this move for it. But like, I don't even know what this stuff is, and why is it good for your hair? What about moon rock or sandalwood? Like, how is that for putting in your hair? Hold on, just a side note, as we get started. Maybe somebody can help me on the text line. Does this happen in your house? You look at the stuff, you like, I just want some Pert Plus because it saves you. If you use Pert Plus, it has shampoo and conditioner in one. You save, I would argue, probably you get an extra week of your life back using that. But we have the two-part process, and they have a bunch... Like sandalwood, how's sandalwood? Something you put in your hair. I don't. All right, lots to do on today's show. I'll bring in, he's probably hung up on me by now, my buddy Cameron Smith from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. Any sandalwood in y'all's shampoo?
No, Sean, but my boys did leave the dog wash in the shower, and I don't have any now, but I did reach for the wrong... I don't know about
that. We're having a little trouble with the connection with Cameron. I see which it's on our end or not, if y'all can look in there. Cameron, can you hear us now? There we go. I tell you what we'll do. Cameron, if you can hear back down the line, you want to just hook up the old-fashioned way, and we'll do that. I don't know why we're having that problem, but they'll be standing by in the studio to get that through. I don't know what was going on there, but it's a challenge. Well, so we'll get Cameron on in just a second. Okay, see, so camellia is a tea tree, says Dan. So why don't they just say camellia shampoo? I'd like that more. This says two tree oil is also, I don't know what is that two tree or? Okay. So my buddy Dalton thinks he has tea tree and sandalwood body. Of course you do. Of course you do. Look at you. Doug says, thank you. Moonrock shampoo leaves your hair gravity-free. That's a treat there. All right. We looking good? We have that connection back? Because I could sit here and have this shampoo discussion. Maybe I'm the weird one. All right. Cameron is back on with us. Cameron Smith, you there?
I am, Sean. I'm sorry. You went dark on me.
I don't know what happened. We lost you there. All right. So, lots to talk about here. I was quoting you yesterday at a conversation with Danny Sheridan, sports analyst, you know, odds maker. We're talking about gambling in the state of Alabama. Here's a guy that has a dog in the hunt. He does this, and he's of the same opinion that you and I've been bouncing around, that this is a bad bet for the state of Alabama. He would like to see all three parts passed, but he asked a very fair question I think we all need to ask is, why can't they be separate? Why can't there be just a lottery bill? Why can't there just be a casino bill? And why can't there be just a sport betting bill?
And the answer is they can be. I mean, that's the bottom line, is that this is just politics. I mean, and anybody who tries to tell you otherwise or tell you this must be done this way or gambling will never be expanded in Alabama, I mean, don't buy it. I mean, this is really transparent that these are separate issues related to gambling. If you want to have sports betting, then guess what? There are a million people already in Alabama that do it. They're not supposed to, but they do it online. I mean, legalize that. Tax and regulate that. If you want to have casinos, do that. But have a process that's transparent and that, you know, gives folks a shot. I understand the communities where there's already gaming want to have it there, but I don't think they should be able to say, well, we get it and nobody else does. That doesn't make sense to me. And then as far as a lottery goes, I mean, it's basically a stupid tax. If you want to have a lottery, it's not that much fun. But yeah, people are doing it. That can be a whole nother issue if you say a lottery up and down. But that what the politicians are saying right now is, well, we got to have all these together and we got to have some home cooking because otherwise it won't pass. And I just don't know that that's true. I think most folks could take a lottery bill, figure it out, take sports betting, figure it out, and take casino style and figure that out too. I mean, people are pretty capable.
Okay, if it doesn't pass separately, it means the people of the state didn't want it. I mean, here's the danger, it won't pass. Well, that's how things work. I mean, if you don't get enough people to vote for it, I mean, that's how it works, right?
Yeah, but you and I know how the sausage is made. I mean, in politics, they say, well, you know, I use the coronavirus stimulus thing that's going through Congress right now. I mean, it's a boondoggle by anyone's standard. I mean, there's some money related to coronavirus, but there's a lot of other stuff in there. And this is how politicians act. They say, well, it couldn't pass on its own. Let's throw a bunch of other stuff in there and see if this will work. And it's not exactly a science, but that's what we're seeing here. And I actually disagree a little bit in that I think some kind of lottery could probably pass. I think
absolutely
some kind of casino gambling could probably pass. And I know sports betting could pass. And so it's those type of things that when people say, well, we just can't do it. Well, maybe you're just doing it wrong.
Well, but the whether something, if it's severable, will pass or not, should not be of the interest of the whole bill. I mean, because something wouldn't pass on its own, and I agree, I think all three would pass, but obviously lottery is going to have the biggest favoritism, and then it'll be a squeaker probably on the other two, but that is not that's not the point. I mean, because these things you worry won't pass on their own, That doesn't mean you pass them with something else. They have their own. It's like a huge disconnect going on with why we elect people and why they represent us.
Yeah, well, I also think for conservatives, and I've used the NASCAR analogy, that conservatives need to be willing to use government to advocate for what they believe in, which is reducing government, limiting government. You got to pass legislation to do that. What I don't understand is how conservatives are saying, well, we want to create new bureaucracies. We want to get the state into new things and say, well, we're really conservative about it. No, you're not. I mean, you're just looking for another revenue stream to pump money in, to spend more. And I just keep coming back to saying it's one thing to allow casino style gaming. It's another thing to allow sports betting. I mean, you're basically letting the private sector do what it wants to do and giving it permission to do that. That's fine. But the idea of, let's expand a whole new bureaucracy to run a state lottery. I mean, I don't have trouble squaring that circle and arguing that it's in any way conservative. I get the whole other states get revenue, so we should get some too. But if something's a bad idea, it shouldn't be less of a bad idea because more people are doing it.
Yes, it should either be, and like you said, the government not having a hand in it and decision making. The vote should be: can we do that, or will we allow this in our state? Okay, we will allow this in our state. Now, this is a thing that private entities can do. Now, you could talk about there's some regulation. I have some pragmatism in my idealism, but sure. this idea that it's a built out process. Obviously, my beef for the last month has been about the favoritism to a duopoly here, but also the idea that there's no way they can present this bill like we've been talking about in any other way than having them all pushed together. And I'm somebody, y'all, I want this to, I want there to, if enough people want gaming, have gaming. I don't gamble, but I don't care. It's not, it doesn't bother me, but what bothers me is us signing up for a bad deal right now that we'll be living with. We'll be talking about it in 10 years. Oh, what a horrible deal it is. Well, we have our chance right now to do better.
Yeah, and I think the lottery question is actually really interesting because Alabama always pulls up the rear. The South kind of pulls up the rear on a lot of things. And when it comes to the lottery, guess what? A lot of states have had lotteries for a long time. And so saying, oh, me too. Again, you're pulling up the rear saying, okay, we're going to allow private lotteries and, we're going to regulate them. You have to post a bond. You have to post your odds and compete on odds. But guess what? That's good for players. They make more interesting products. They improve the likelihood of winning. I mean, there's a lot of upside to doing that. You still generate revenue. Where I have the biggest issue, and I've been consistent about this across every lottery in every state for a long time, is there are a lot of things government could do and industries the government could get into that would generate revenue, and you mm-hmm. could say it's for the kids. I mean, I used the example in my column this week of, smoking. Let's get the states in the tobacco industry, not regulating it, but making it. You can make a lot more money that way. So sell cigarettes, but it's for the kids.
Yes, it's for the children.
So, and that's where, as long as you say for the children, you could fill in the blank with anything. But I think most of us would look at it and say, well, marketing cigarettes, downplaying the harms, really trying to maximize revenue for cigarettes, the state shouldn't do that. Well, I mean, what's the difference? I mean, there's harms associated with gambling, with the lottery. It disproportionately impacts lower income folks. You're going to market it. You're going to sell it. You're going to prey upon, hey, you can make money doing this. And if you think the cigarette company's wrong, help me understand why you don't think the lottery's wrong. And again, we allow people to smoke.
Yep.
It's just the state's not pushing it.
We're coming right back. More with Cameron Smith from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. We'll talk more about this. And also, he mentioned it, the $1.9 trillion. What do you even call it? Spending? Relief bill for 9%? Boondoggle for others? And the question, too, is if we're on the mend right now, the country's getting back online, why all this money now?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right back to it in our conversation with Cameron Smith from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. And, Cam, let me read this up. Text from there's Doug. Doug referencing yesterday's show when I had Danny Sheridan on. He said Danny Sheridan made the statement that per capita Alabama has the biggest spending on biggest betting on sports of any other state. So the amount he said he thought it was around $1 billion a year. I mean the revenue. Those are all good stories about revenue, and he's a guy that would be he has a dog in the hunt for this gaming to be there. And he says, I want the gaming to be there. I just don't want the state of Alabama to get a bad deal. I mean he wants to get the revenue for the state. That's the purpose, right?
Yeah, I mean, in the initial iteration of the most recent bill said that if you place a sporting bet, it's got to be at one of these physical casinos. And that is just insane.
Yes.
I mean, I've got a cell phone that I can place a sports bet on today.
Mm-hmm.
And arguing whether it's legal or not is, a different argument. But my point is, people are already doing it. So why not legalize and generate revenue off what people are already doing, as opposed to acting like they're not, and then if they want it to be legal, force them to go to a building to place the bet? That is dumb.
Yeah, he referenced like people can from Alabama can drive across the border into Tennessee, open their cell phone, place a bet, and drive right back into Alabama. And, you know, this is, I mean, it's not why we would not. Why would we not accept that? I mean, if you're going to do this, you're going to have sports betting, then be realistic. Don't make it sports betting from 1980. Make it, if you're going to pass it, then do it.
Well, and this is the backwards mindset that a lot of, you know, frankly, Southern politics gets mired in is, well, instead of acting like we're in 2021, we're going to throw it back about 30 years and say, let's do it that way. And that's nuts. I mean, it's just a waste of time because somebody's going to raise their hand and say, hey, guys, you know, there's a lot of people doing something that we could just directly address. Instead, we're going to say, well, no, you got to go to the casinos. And some folks will. But, you know, people are going to keep doing the same thing that they're already doing because we're not going to go. Alabama is not going to run around looking at people's cell phones and saying, well, you placed a sports bet on your cell phone. You're going to jail. Like, they're not going to do that. And, I mean, that's the practical aspect of government that's missing more often than not. And, you know, I also have a big issue, you know, on the casinos front with, I don't know where everybody's been for the last couple decades, but a lot of these existing gaming operators have been not exactly good faith actors. They've been flouting the law. They've been acting like, you know, slot machines are fine. I mean,
what is the law?
Litigation history there.
The law keeps, go back through history and the law may say the same, but how the enforcement is done and not, you know, if I was one of those operators and they weren't going to enforce the law, I'd be trying to get away with everything I could. And then a new AG comes in, then it's different. Then a new AG comes in, it changes back around.
Yeah, and then the, you know, local sheriffs who are friendly to those gaming operations don't like the state because they see it as good for their community, and the state saying, well, it's against the law. And we watch this whole drama play out, and my point is just address it. Just say, okay, you know, if we want to have casino-style gambling, let's just, like, drop the act. Slot machines are okay. I mean, it's that kind of thing where if somebody's walking in and playing a high-speed game of charitable bingo that doesn't look anything like bingo or a slot machine, it's the same to the end user. And so trying to figure out ways to just deal with reality versus a theoretical land, I mean, I'm tired of the cloak and dagger politics of gambling in Alabama. I mean, I've been on all sides of it, looking at all of it. And, you know, as you and I so often agree, there is a pathway to expanding gaming in Alabama. And it's just don't do it in a way that violates your principles or expands the role of government or engages in rank cronyism. It's not complicated.
Yeah, I want to, before we finish up here, talk about something I mentioned during the break, a vote that went on today. I just heard about it during Jeff's show earlier, that, and I thought this was a slam dunk, a bill that they were moving to be able to call themselves the legislature back into session. So, you know, they had an issue like they did this summer. They wanted to do that. The executive branch wouldn't call a special that they could do that. It went down. It did not pass.
Well, doing your job is hard. And, you know, KIVY, I've been laughing for a week because KIVY called the legislature a turtle herd.
Yep.
And, I you know, they're owning up to that and saying, well, we don't really think we want to be able to, like, call ourselves into session and act like an independent branch. You know, I think KIVY called them out, and then they're basically proving that she's right. That, you know, they're not interested in doing their job. And I'm a voter for one of those folks that voted against it. I'd ask some tough questions about it.
I don't know. I mean, I know what you're saying, that they don't, you know, want it to be somebody else's responsibility. But I just can't imagine that you wouldn't, as a legislator, vote yourself more ability to do your job. I know what you're saying. I do follow what you're saying, but I'm just still stuck on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I'm an elected official in the legislature in Alabama and the governor just referred to me and my colleagues as a herd of turtles, the first thing I'd be wanting to do is say, let me explain how we're not. You know, we want to do our job. We want to legislate. We want to be responsive to our constituents. And this is not how you do that.
For sure. For sure. All right. Do you see, with about a minute and a half left, if you had to bet on it, Do they get something done on this? Do they go ahead and muscle through with the bill, you know, with like this Frankenstein with a few more parts on it, or do they go back to the drawing board? What do you think happens on gaming?
I think it's just starting to get, it's a tire with a lot of mud on it that's starting to slip and slide, and you know, maybe they figure out a way to get traction and get something through, but I think there's just way too many questions that still got to be answered right now.
All right. People want to read more, of course, they can go to AL.com, read you there, read you in their papers, and also more info on the Triptych Foundation. Where do they go?
Yeah, you can go to Triptych, T-R-I-P-T-Y-C-H, foundation.org. Come check out our website. Lots of fun things to click on, but you can find me at D. Cameron Smith on Twitter, and love to talk, love to engage.
All right. Also, I told y'all last week, it's debuted the inaugural edition of the Appropriations Committee. You can check out some details there. We'll tell you more about that. So Cameron and I doing even extra talking, right? You and I doing this podcast.
We have all the best words, Sean. All the best words.
I hope so. Thank you, brother. Have a good one.
You too.
All right, coming right back. Got some calls to get to here at 343-0106 and some texts. We'll bounce this around. Even some more text about Tea Tree. And this seems like I offended the folks that are, I'm not a fan of the Tea Tree stuff. I realize it's like if your hair smoked a cool menthol king or something, but just didn't know it got your hair clean. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Phone number, text line, together, 343-0106, 343-0106. I want y'all to say hello to my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM. And Larry, let's talk some luxury vehicles at LCM.
You know, Sean, we're always talking about luxury trucks. But let's talk about some luxury cars. Not everybody wants to buy a truck. We've learned that over the years. So we got, let's see, we got a 2014 BMW 328 sedan. I mean, that's like brand new. We got a 2015 Mercedes E350, which is one of the most popular sedans. It's only got 70,000 miles. 2016 BMW 550 Sport Package with only 70,000 miles. One owner, and it's, like I said, like brand new. We got a Cadillac ATS, excuse me, with only 35,000 miles.
Man, you do have the luxury vehicles. Let's talk about financing options on those and all the inventory.
Oh, they'll give real extended terms on all these luxury cars, and they'll give us great rates. It all depends on the customer, of course, but we'll get great terms, great rates, and multiple ways to go with them.
All right, tell us how to come find you.
Highway 98 Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
All right, Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. All right, run through some texts, and we'll grab calls as well. I don't know how many. Listen, let me just say this to settle one of the conversations going on here. I was not that Tea Tree stuff, that shampoo. I like it. I mean, it is like menthol. It's like peppermints for your hair. I just didn't know what in all those products actually gets your hair clean. I mean, I just looked through the shampoo bottles that are around that the female Sullivans have brought into the mix here, and I just saw Tea Tree, or I got that, and I know that stuff comes in the green bottle, and it feels like peppermint on your head. But sandalwood, like Dalton's big sandalwood fan. I don't like what does that do? Macadamia, that's a dang nuts. You get from Hawaii. India chai, isn't that a tea? Is that in this moon rock? What did moon rock? And where the heck are they getting the moon rock for the shampoo? But it has started a robust discussion on the text line. All right. A couple of these questions about the gaming. So it's just, there's just several parts of this that I think are fair questions. And I think even if you're for lottery, you're for casino gaming, you're for sports betting, it's okay to ask these questions. I mean, if you ask why you can't bring three separate bills, that doesn't mean you don't believe all three should pass or would pass. But it's this kind of hurry up and you know, hurry up and get this done that worries me. And oh, you know what? We can't have everybody get in the casino business, so we're going to give it to two players. or two companies. We have to do, I mean, come on. That's the best they could do. I want to run through a couple more things. We did talk about the HB 21 there for a second with Cameron. So HB 21, and the story posted up at the Yellowhammer News. Sean Ross posted up just minutes ago what we were talking about. Okay, HB 21 is a bill that would allow the legislature to call itself into a special session. I mean, remember what they complained about this summer? Right, that they couldn't, they had things they wanted to do, and they wanted to come in and they had to make sure you didn't pay state tax on your stimulus check, and they had a couple other, they couldn't come back in to do that. Remember the bill to prevent liability for businesses, you know, for they couldn't get in to do that. The governor did this from the executive branch because she wouldn't call the legislature back into session, and they can't call themselves. So right now they're in session, and they're working on this HB 21 that would give the legislature, the law would be the legislature could call itself into special session. Also, he writes here, Sean writes, companion bill was given favorable report by the Senate Government Affairs Committee on Tuesday. However, the House CC&E rejected a motion to give the bill a favorable report on a 3-4 vote. Those voting to support the bill were Representatives Bob Fincher, Republican from Woodland, Wes Allen, Republican out of Troy, Matt Simpson, Republican out of Daphne. Those opposed were Representatives Chris Pringle, Republican out of Mobile, Howard Sanderford, Republican out of Huntsville, Wandalin Givon, Democrat out of Birmingham, and Adeline Clark, Democrat out of Mobile. So I'm going to try to talk to at least our local folks, and maybe there's a reason I'm not seeing it. It goes on and says, Pringle, in remarks ahead of the vote, expressed concerns that the bill would lead in the future to the legislature constantly being convened in special sessions regarding issues that are not true emergencies. That's a fair statement from Representative Pringle, but y'all are the ones writing the law. Couldn't you put language in the law that says you can't use this willy-nilly? There has to be some sort of, you know, threshold met to be able to use this. And it would have to be, I would imagine, some kind of vote of the legislature, even though they wouldn't be in session. I don't know if they could do it. Could meet up there outside chambers or something and do a vote. Hey, do we want to do this? Do we want to be, do we want to come back into session? Then you have the gatekeeping. You have the preventative for willy-nilly, silly special sessions. I see... That's a point that is important, but y'all are the legislature. Write the law to prevent that from happening. It just leaves me scratching my head. Or don't ever complain in the future that you can't. Well, we'd like to do this, but you know the governor, and this could be with Governor Ivey, could be governors down the road. Well, we'd like to do this, but we can't come back into session. Right, we have to wait for the governor to call a special session, and we can't do it. Well, y'all had your chance. You know, I mean, you got a chance here to make a move on it. All right, phone number 343-0106, and let's go to James in Mobile first up. Hey, James.
Yeah, I had a question. I was wondering about the legislature this past session when they were out. Were they compensated? Were they paid?
No, they only get paid for the days they're in, and they're running through them pretty fast right now. So no, when they're not in session, they're not getting paid. You know, it all works out that, I don't know, you break it down per day you're in there, how they're paid. They actually do go work when they're not in session. I've watched that. That's true. They do go. They have meetings. They work on things. They know what they're going to do, kind of, before they get in session, but they don't get paid when they're not working.
Okay, well, I don't think this is thinking that would be a good reason why they wouldn't want to have it to where they could call a special session, you know. But
no, that's a good point.
You know,
maybe
if they aren't getting compensated, well, maybe it'd make you scratch your head a little bit. But I was just wondering, because I said, well, if I could do like some of these folks in the public sector, the private sector is different. If you aren't working, you ain't getting paid.
That's right.
Some of these folks in the public sector, they hadn't heard anything about a layoff.
Right. No, you know, you're right on that. And that's a part of it I haven't thought of. I just don't want to hear from them, well, it can't be done. Y'all are writing the dang legislation. Y'all are the legislature. Write it so it, you know, protects from that happening or a silly special session happening. Write them and then vote for it.
right.
James, okay, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for the call. Leaves the line open at 343-0106. So this unnamed texter says, by the way, too, if you give yourself a nickname or, you know, first name, last name, whatever on here, I like to refer to people by name. But this texter says, nothing good can come from the legislature giving itself more time to screw up Alabama. This would turn into a political stall tactic. Okay, this is interesting. This is why this is good. We talk about it from other sides. So they would use it as a stall how? Because with special session, and I'm not telling you you're wrong, just help finish out the thought. Because special session, as it is now, the executive branch calls it in for a specific issue, right? They can't, and they were, I think they're saying the same thing. The legislature would have to, you call a special, not just to go back into session, but to deal with, it's this. We got to pass this bill. We got to do this other thing, whatever. It's, you know, they've done them for the gas tax. They've done them for other things where they call these specials. They're only going to focus on that. So I think the legislature would be bound by the same thing. And once regular session came back in, they couldn't be in a special. So I'm not discounting what you say, unnamed texter. I'm just trying to figure out how this all works. To hear the complaints over the summer, how if they could only go back into session, they could make it so the people of Alabama wouldn't have, which the governor ended up doing now, the executive branch, which bothered me. Not because the outcome of not having to pay state taxes on your stimulus check, I agreed with. That's the job of the legislature, not the job of the executive branch. But the executive branch did it. But the legislature wanted to come back in for special, but they couldn't call themselves back in. So this is a solution to that, but they're not going to. I mean, obviously there's a lot of votes for this, HB 21, but obviously there were more, at least in committee, that kept it out. Matt is in Mobile up next. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Well, I'm all right. So listen, you and Cameron, and it just frustrates me. Look, I got a question. Did I miss the memo about the unbridled power that Governor Ivey and Joe Bonner have over the legislature? Where in the world did this come from where they can bully them and you have more legislatures say, no, we'd rather the executive office dictate to us what we need to do that's better for the state?
I don't, if you grew up like me, always being told, hey, our system is the legislature is more powerful than the executive branch, you know, but it doesn't look like it now.
No, it doesn't. And it just, it reeks of the old Paul Hubbard AEA days. I'm not bashing the AEA. I'm just talking about where the influential power was there, where you had to run everything by him or Joe Reed before you could get anything done.
Yep. When he used to sit up in the balcony and give it the thumbs up or thumbs down.
Exactly. I don't get this. I mean, all throughout the fall and the winter, we heard everybody griping about when the economy opened back up. When can we lift some of these sanctions?
Yep.
Or I say sanctions, but the economic things that are kind of holding us at bay. But now, while they're in session, it's like everybody's fumbling the football and scared to death of calling her out.
I'm on the same page with you, Matt. They talked. They came on my show and Jeff's show and Dan and Dalton and talked about this over. They wanted this. And listen, the people that came on the show and talked that they wanted it did vote for it. But there are Republicans, enough of them in committee to block it. What do y'all want? What is it that y'all want? I don't understand now.
Well, I'm just screaming that we need Will Ainsworth and, oh, my gosh, Chris Elliott to go at Legion of Doom on these.
Legion of Doom. Nice, Matt. Appreciate it, man. Leaves the line open at 343-0106, 343-0106. We'll come back, grab some more calls, and get some more of these texts in the mix as well. Also, a reminder, if you're not in yet for this week's contest, and you haven't already won in the previous weeks, it's another week and another chance for you to win the Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast Picture of the Week contest. Remember, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Post up your yard or garden picture there. Get your friends and family to like your picture. The one with the most likes wins that great planting cycle chart from Bill and us, and also a sign suitable for framing and putting in your yard that says, I'm a winner. So check it out. You can see the details. You can see a picture of it all on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Then get your gardening pictures up there and hopefully win.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
seems like big tea tree has gotten control of the text line. I'm not anti-tea tree. I like peppermint on my head. I'm just asking all these other products and tea tree, how did they know that that's something to get your hair clean? I don't... Why can't we get tea tree and other stuff then? If it's so... I don't know. All right. Grab some text here and calls. Okay, one of these. Now, let's take... Okay. Good afternoon, Sean. I'm 50 years old, so I'm not far behind you, sir or ma'am. A couple years ago, I got my hair... My hair got dry and was falling out in globs. My stylist suggested a tea tree product. Not only did it stop the hair loss, but it has actually helped me my hair regrow quite a lot. It's good stuff. You know, some people step off into Bonfield. I step on Bonfield's because of the shampoo in my shower. Hey, it's my cross to bear. No worry. All right, a name texter here. I think the legislature, I read this a second ago during the break. This is well thought out. I think the legislature should be able to call themselves into session, but there must be a very high bar for them to convene. Another good solution would be any legislation that is passed during their self-called special session would require a much higher vote count to pass. This would ensure that anything they called themselves in session for is truly needed to be done. Hey, unnamed texter, send that to Montgomery. It's well thought out. That's what I'm saying. If you're writing the legislation because you're the legislature, then make it like that. But don't not pass something here and then say, oh, we can't, you know, we wanted to go back in for special, but we can't. You could, and like that texter said, I think there has to be some higher benchmarks. I do. Because you don't, I mean, yes, these things can get abused. Somebody had said something similar there that, you know, think about what happens down the road. And this, if I can find that person's text, this is something, because it's all in the Sandalwood Armada is already in my text line now. I agree. If somebody said basically what I've said before, it happens a lot when Republicans have control in Washington, everybody's like, do this, that, and the other. And I said, just be careful because, you know, what you do now can come back and bite you. So and I don't have that text. There's so many coming through here. Don't need to call because I can't read all these at the same time. But saying basically that be careful what you do with this special session now, because if you have a different person in the governor's mansion, right, in the Blunt mansion, it could be a different story. Fair enough. It's a fair discussion of it. But don't cry to me all summer that if y'all could only get into special session, y'all could fix this, that, and the other and check the power of the executive branch, and then you have a chance to do it, and you don't. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Somebody said they didn't vote for it because they didn't want to get on Meemaw's naughty list. Well, I mean, that's a funny text from unnamed texter. You know, they had a list during the gas tax thing. And I'm just not saying that for one reason other than they said it was true. So let's talk. You would imagine if you're trying to move legislation through that's done in Washington, you have the people that are yes votes, the people that are no votes, the people are maybe votes. You're going to spend your time on the maybe votes. But let me point out this is one party, too. But this happens, and I said this 10 years ago with this station. You let any – there's a need in our system to have push and pull. It is a good thing. I know so many of you want – yeah, just one party, and for a lot of people, listen to Station 1, Republicans in control of everything. And that, even in that situation that you've seen here, cabals form and there's push and pull with different ideas between it. There needs to be some friction. Doesn't have to be mean-spirited or nasty, but different ideas and pushing and pulling. That's good. That's our system. That's right. And... so if the legislature wants to make itself a little stronger, I was taught growing up that we had a strong legislature and a weak executive branch in Alabama. It doesn't seem like it right now. So is it okay to kind of move that wherever that front line is or that separation on the pie chart is, move it over a little bit to give some more power to the legislature? I don't know. I think it is, but some people can make arguments and say it's not. So we'll take those at 343-0106, 343-0106. Listen, my friend Jace is about to get banned on the text line because he's already been in a big rant here about tea tree oil, and then he brings up what I think is the nastiest food on planet Earth. He brings up Peeps. And I know it's getting, you know, we're looking towards Easter. This is one of the unpopular opinions. I do not like Peeps. I don't like them in the microwave, don't like them not in the microwave. And he says, here's 3-ounce scented bubble bunny basket filler Easter marshmallow container. Peeps bubble bath, he says, is peak luxury. Jace, you're going to keep up with those photographs of Peeps and you're going to get banned. All right, so many texts coming in here. We'll get to these and your calls when we come back. Plus, are you smarter than a cephalopod? This is a story that kind of knocked my socks off this morning. I think it's pretty interesting from the world of science. We'll get into that and a whole lot more next hour right here on Midday Mobile.